The FBI quietly releases unclassified documents on J6 murder victim Ashley Babbitt's death. A new WEF report reveals the global elite's shocking plan to enforce vaccination. And a Japanese professor of medicine delivers a stunning message that everyone needs to hear. These stories and more tonight. I'm Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and this is Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. Tools in the globalists' war chest of how they aim to achieve the Great Reset. There are also many contingencies to their plans depending on how the public responds to each burning arrow that they shoot. No tools work as well as threats to health, financial security, and personal safety. All of these threats cause a very human response in the natural instinct to defend oneself and one's family from destruction, and they know it. Since they started with the greatest threat, health, the globalists have been increasing their attacks at a rapid pace, and now it seems they are shooting their arrows from all different directions to see what will stick. But when nothing does, when the fear tactics don't work anymore, when no one's getting injected anymore, when people don't believe a single word their leaders say, the only option left is war. And war, of course, helps to destroy the Ponzi scheme that is the current financial system, which is what they want. JP Morgan's CEO issues urgent warning to America. Perhaps the world's most influential banker, JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, warned the world in his annual letter to shareholders that while he expects US economic resilience and higher inflation and interest rates, and is optimistic about transformational opportunities from AI, he worries geopolitical events, including the war in Ukraine and the Israel-Hamas war, as well as US political polarization, might be creating an environment that may very well be creating risks that could eclipse anything since World War II. That's a quote from Jamie himself. He mentions the fact that America's global leadership is being challenged. Inflation and market over-optimism are an issue. All of the following factors appear to be inflationary, including ongoing fiscal spending, remilitarization of the world, restructuring of global trade, capital needs of the new green economy, and possibly higher energy costs in the future, even though there is currently an oversupply of gas and plentiful spare capacity in oil due to a lack of needed investment in the energy infrastructure. He also talks about the fact that AI is transformational, but we don't know the full effect or the precise rate at which AI will change our business or how it will affect society at large. We're completely convinced the consequences will be extraordinary and possibly as transformational as some of the major technological inventions of the past several hundred years. He says, think the printing press, the steam engine, electricity, computing, and the internet, among others. He says that over time, we anticipate that our use of AI has the potential to augment virtually every job, as well as impact our workforce composition. We'll talk more on that later in the broadcast. He says the banking crisis is over for now, but he concludes when terrible events happen, we tend to overestimate the effect they will have on the global economy. Recent events, however, may very well be creating risks that could eclipse anything since World War II. We should not take them lightly. And you can view the entire 30,000 word letter to his shareholders linked on the Vigilant News article in the description below. Possibly the greatest threat is truly a world war. We see those escalations increasing day by day, especially with the current puppet in the White House being unable to identify what day of the week it is, let alone de-escalate a situation. We wanted to get an economist's take on the comments of JP Morgan's CEO. Martin Armstrong is a world-renowned economist and forecaster who previously sat at the same table as Klaus Schwab, but is strongly opposed to the Great Reset. His forecasting model has been incredibly accurate over the years, and he joins us now for his insight. Martin Armstrong, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to tune in to you.
Well, we're glad to have you. We are talking today about these recent statements that JP Morgan has issued, the CEO issuing an urgent warning to America, an ominous view of geopolitical chaos that the world is facing and what effects this is going to have on the financial world and the economy. We hear of, spoken to people like Ed Dowd, who says he thinks that the economy is going to collapse. The current system is going to collapse before President Trump is elected in November. We'd love to hear your thoughts, Martin.
Well, our model has been projecting that the peak in the economy would be May 7th. And we should go into a recessionary period into 2028. But it's not going to be the typical type of recession. This is going to be more of a stagflation where inflation is going to continue to rise, mainly because we have a lot of these people. The real problem, I think you're getting a lot of these types of comments, is, and I mean, even from Jamie Dimon. So, is that people have to understand Biden is just really, unfortunately, a hand puppet. That's what they want. Because when you go to a cabinet meeting, the president is supposed to be the referee. And you have all these agencies, and he's not even there 40% of the time. So you can see the chaos that's happening. Every agency is just doing whatever they want. So you have the State Department with the neocons, threatening World War III on every front. Then they don't even consider the fact that China is the largest holder of U.S. debt. If China stops buying and you can't basically sell the new debt to pay off the old, that's when defaults take place. So you have Janet Yellen from the Treasury hopping on a plane, running over there saying, please keep buying. So, I mean, nobody's really running the ship here. Then you got the EPA people out there trying to shut down farmers. And I mean, they're all just going crazy. When you raise kids, usually the 2-year-old, if dad says no, it goes to mom, and that's basically what's happening here. They're all just doing their own thing, and there's nobody coordinating anything.
Yeah, so obviously Biden is doing no favors to the US in terms of the respect that people had for the United States under the Trump administration. Trump keeps saying that if he was in office, that these wars would not be happening at all. I tend to believe him. But we do have the restructuring of global trade occurring, and it seems that people are moving away from the US dollar, regardless really of who's in power. What do you have to say about that? And I guess the progress of BRICS.
Well, it really has nothing to do with trade. What it really has to do with is that the neocons used the dollar as a weapon. When they removed Russia from the SWIFT system, that was absolutely brain dead. Because then every other country started realizing, hey, if we don't do what these people tell us to do, then they'll remove us. So that's really what has been behind creating the BRICS. It's more of a political issue. As far as trade is concerned, it probably does more damage to them because they still have to, the biggest market to sell anything is still the United States. So basically, what would happen is that they would end up still having to cross the currency, back to dollars in order to sell and keep trade going. Like China basically relies upon selling things to the United States. So, I mean, it's a little bit more complicated than people suspect, but it's part of the ongoing agenda where you have like the IMF creating their own digital coin. and they're hoping to replace the dollar. I mean, and you've got the WHO trying to become, dictator to the entire world for health. And, it's more of this globalization where they think they can just take over the entire world. And that's really what, BRICS is about as well. It's like, these people are not going to dictate to us.
Right. Diamond also mentions the capital needs of the new green economy. This fits into what you're saying, because essentially this global takeover is being based entirely on climate change and the need to reach net zero and the UN's Agenda 2030. But what we're seeing is a huge reduction in the uptake of the green economy, actually. It's not profitable, but yet they seem hell-bent on pushing this. Where do you see that heading, Martin?
As you know, I've dealt with governments around the world for 40 years. And I can tell you the one thing I have learned from all of them, from Asia, America, Australia, Europe, they're all the same. They will never, ever, ever admit a mistake, period. half the people that can die from vaccines, it's Trump's fault, or it's aliens came or something. I mean, anything but them. So it's this is a more of a serious problem. But the whole green agenda is collapsing. It's not profitable. It's destroying jobs everywhere. Germany's in real problems, but then you also have the Greens over there all cheering World War III. I mean, it's just like everybody's on drugs or something. I don't know.
Yes, it's absolutely unbelievable. At the time of this reporting, we're seeing very real, serious escalation in the Middle East. And if, in my personal opinion, if people think that that's going to be isolated to the Middle East, that's a very naive view of this. Your model has been predicting a war cycle for some time. Do we see this extending beyond the Middle East anytime soon?
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, this is not just the Middle East. the whole Ukraine action against Russia, in all honesty, just step back and look at it objectively. Russia had 4.5 million people in the army, all right, without drafting. There is nobody that I know that ever expected Ukraine to be able to defeat Russia. I mean, come on. They have used Ukraine as cannon fodder, and that's it. And the whole objective was for them just to kill as many Russians as possible. And nobody cares about if one Ukrainian still stands. This is why over in Ukraine, it came out in the local newspapers there that there was a peace deal. What Putin was talking about in his interview with Tucker Carlson. And that was correct. And Boris Johnson hopped on a plane and said, no, you're not allowed to seek any sort of a peace deal. And over 500,000 Ukrainians are dead ever since. Nobody cares about this. What are they fighting for anyhow? The Donbass has been occupied by Russians for hundreds of years. And it has no strategic value to Ukraine per se. Crimea is the only warm water port for Russia. This has been all about trying to weaken Russia so NATO can go in. And you have to understand, I got a hold of the declassified documents from the Clinton administration. And, Russia was invited in to join NATO. That's what started the whole coup with Gorbachev, and Yeltsin had to stand on the tank, etc. And I've seen the other documents behind this. And effectively, NATO, I agree with Trump that it should have been disbanded, because their sole purpose is war. That's it. And it made sense when you had Gorbachev and Russia was communist. All right. But all they ever do is keep saying, oh, Russia wants to invade. Once, you know, I think if Putin wanted to invade, he would have done it 20 years ago.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely. It's, I mean, honestly, Martin, no one really buys the mainstream media lies about that region anymore. It's more, you know, we're more concerned now, I guess, as a whole of, okay, we know they're going to lie to us, but what exactly is going to happen next as far as world tensions go, and are the wars going to spread beyond just Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Palestine? We certainly can see that starting to occur. Do you think that they're going to use war to collapse the current economy?
Not to collapse it, but yes, the problem they have is the way governments, you know, collapse is that when you're in these Ponzi schemes, and everybody in the West is, they keep selling new debt every year to, and they just pay off the old debt. And the problem comes when you can't sell the new debt. That's when you default. And we're approaching that. And the whole purpose of this, I can tell you, is they want World War III so they can default on their debts. Because they can't admit they ever made a mistake, all right? So they will default on their debts, and the plan is basically to have Bretton Woods II, which will be the digital currencies. They are, I published over a year ago that they were going to try and start war here before the 24 election. You know, the two theories were, one, that no president has ever lost during time of war, so they were thinking that would help Biden. But secondly, you know, the polls are also anti-Biden. It's ridiculous. And so they want to create a war to trap basically Trump if he does win and they don't assassinate him beforehand, you know, that he's then stuck in war. And can't get out of it. But he's correct. I mean, look, this war would be over in 24 hours. All they had to do was honor the Minsk agreement, which they agreed to before, that the Donbass would be allowed to vote on their own separation. And that was it. This nonsense, oh, we're fighting for democracy. No, you're not. Democracy means they get a right to vote. And then you had Merkel actually come out and said, well, we never intended to honor the Minsk agreement. I couldn't believe any head of state would have ever said such a thing. Why would you negotiate with the West if they will say anything and never honor it?
Yes. I want to clarify something that you just said there. So you're saying you believe that they will start a world war before November, so that if Trump is elected, he's stuck to deal with the fallout of it. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Look, this Moscow attack, it was organized by the West.
Russia has confirmed that.
The reason for it is the same thing that you look at World War II. FDR put on all kinds of sanctions, embargoes, froze all the money of Japan, did everything they possibly could do. And then they said, all right, fine, because Japan got all its oil from the United States and said, we're cutting that off. And Japan said, well, we'll get it from somebody else. And then the U.S. said, no, we're going to blockade you so you can't do that. That's why they attacked Pearl Harbor. And there was a big Senate investigation on this because, you know, they had broken the code and knew Pearl Harbor was going to take place. But it could not get the U.S. into World War II. So they needed Japan to attack. And this is what that Moscow attack was about. They've been praying that Putin would respond, attack anybody, please, in NATO, so then they can say, see, he's the aggressor, and then we're in.
Yes,
that's what's going on.
I think it's clear to everyone that they are really, you know, like I said, hell-bent on escalating into war, it's clear that they want this to move to a digital currency model. And I think that we need to really prepare for that. Martin, you've got a conference coming up. Everyone can look on armstrongeconomics.com, upcoming events. There's a London seminar and tickets are on sale now. Martin, can you tell us about this seminar briefly?
Well, our model turns for May 7th, which also happens to be the day Putin is inaugurated.
All right.
I'm hoping that, you know, Ukraine doesn't try to something stupid there as well. But so we're doing a conference in London. It will be also live streamed around the world. And it mainly focusing on the change in the model. What are we now going to expect going into year end? Because this is the computer's effectively never been wrong on these things. And it's been screaming, you know, I think it would hide underneath my bed if it could, you know. But about May 7th, this date was set in motion back in 1979. The model dates are definitive. And here it is, the very day that Putin's to be inaugurated. Then you got the Middle East. A lot of people are saying that Iran's going to attack any day. They may also wait till May. The whole thing is just a total mess. And it doesn't need to be this way, but they will not admit that what they've been doing, borrowing year after year with no intention of paying anything off, that has been wrong. It does not work. And you're going to seriously impact everybody's future going forward.
Martin Armstrong, we are very, very appreciative of your time today. Again, you can go to armstrongeconomics.com to join at the London seminar. Tickets on sale now. We'll definitely speak to you again soon for further analysis, as I'm sure things are going to continue to get wild this year. Thank you again, Martin.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and take care down there.
As Martin said, this is all far more complicated than they'd like people to believe. Ultimately, their goal is the Great Reset in order to achieve the digital Bretton Woods. The sooner people realize what a digital prison known as digital currency is, the sooner they will understand everything we're seeing today is for this reason. Oppose the Great Reset at all costs. But something is up, something big, something suspicious. You can't quite pinpoint it, but you can't deny it either. All you have to do is trust your gut. Listen to it and prepare with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for the uncertain future. Many of them choose 3-month emergency food kits. With 22 food and drink varieties, there'll be no food boredom. With over 2,000 calories per day, there'll be no starvation. And sealed inside ultra-durable 4-layer packaging, these ready-hour meals last up to 25 years in storage. Stock up on all the food kits your family needs at our website, preparewithvnn.com. You'll get each kit for $200 off. Protect yourself, protect your people. Get your kits at preparewithvnn.com. They'll ship fast and free. Preparewithvnn.com. Well, the MSM has failed to mention showers with dad and molestation after Ashley Biden diary leaker jailed. On Tuesday, a Florida woman was sentenced to a month in prison and 3 months of home confinement for stealing and selling the diary of Ashley Biden, President Joe Biden's daughter. Harris pleaded guilty to a conspiracy charge in August of 2022, admitting that she received $20,000 of the $40,000 paid by Project Veritas for the diary. And while Veritas elected not to publish the diary, the National File did, revealing that Joe Biden took probably not appropriate showers with Ashley, who also questions whether she was molested and wrote that she was hypersexualized at a young age. Libs of TikTok posts here, Biden's kids called him Pedo Peter, and his daughter says he took inappropriate showers with her and suggests she was molested. Just imagine if it was Trump. Very good point there. It'd be plastered all over every single mainstream media headline. And while the MSM repeatedly insinuated Trump was some kind of pedo for suggesting he would date his daughter Ivanka if she wasn't his daughter, they've completely ignored the fact that Joe Biden showered with his daughter, who thinks she may have been molested. Quite a few people commenting on this over here on X. Meanwhile, leftist commentator Ed Krasenstein defended Biden's shower time, saying there are plenty of fathers who have been in the same shower as their young daughters. Virtually all pediatricians and child psychologists support it up until a certain age. Someone clearly says they didn't actually mention she was uncomfortable with it. He did more than shower with her to make her feel traumatized, or to make her traumatized, and that certain age is when she's old enough to take a bath safely with a parent next to the bath reading a book and not in it. So the MSM won't mention it, and some on the left are defending it. No matter how much you hate corporate media, it isn't enough. The FBI quietly released unclassified file on Ashley Babbitt during the solar eclipse. That's right. While most Americans were dialed in on the solar eclipse, the FBI quietly released unclassified documents regarding Ashley Babbitt, the Air Force veteran whom a Capitol Police officer killed on January 6th. On April 8th, the FBI released a highly redacted 69-page file on the details of Ashley Babbitt's death, military background, and testimonies on Babbitt's character. On page 3 of the file, it was written, Babbitt is deceased and therefore this case is not being nominated to TSDB. TSDB stands for the Terrorist Screening Data. The TSDB contains biographic and biometric identifying information, for example, name, date of birth, photographs, iris scans, and/or fingerprints of known and suspected terrorists. The fact that the FBI even mentioned the TSDB goes to show the FBI viewed Americans inside of the Capitol as terrorists rather than American citizens who were simply frustrated with the way the 2020 election was conducted. The file oddly made no mention of Capitol Police Officer Lieutenant Michael Byrd, but instead generally stated that Babbitt was shot by police. The Gateway Pundit was the first publication to correctly identify Michael Byrd as Ashley Babbitt's cold-blooded killer. Later in the file, the FBI provides a brief overview of Babbitt's personal information, such as her fingerprints, DMV records, and details regarding her military service. Several pages were redacted that contained anonymous tips made by unnamed individuals through the FBI's tip line. You can see that here. One page of the file was an interview of an individual whose name was redacted. The individual described Babbitt as a very outgoing and loving person who loved her family and country. In the same interview, the person stated that Ashley would never go after someone physically. The Gateway Pundit previously reported Judicial Watch filed a $30 million wrongful death lawsuit against the US government for the death of Babbitt. The whole situation and now this FBI redacted document raises more questions than answers. One thing is certain. People who question election integrity are being considered terrorists by the FBI. That should alarm everyone. Debt. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with Debt is your lifeline. Done with Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help erase your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Done with Debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get debt out of your life permanently without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with Debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. Here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com, that's donewithdebt.com, select VNN, Vigilant News Network, at checkout. That's donewithdebt.com. It's no secret that the Great Reset is about digitizing our world. Sadly, many have grossly underestimated just how serious the transhumanists are about this and what it actually means. They are determined to transition us to an existence of augmented reality, where we are essentially merged with the internet. This is described in detail in the UN 100's book Remaking the World Towards an Age of Global Enlightenment, which I encourage everyone to go and watch. It's up on zmedia.com on the interviews page. You can search the term UN 100 and find it with ease. In this book, they describe a mixed reality existence where people will live out their lives in the metaverse, which they actually call the AI World Society. Ursula von der Leyen of the EU has contributed to this book. It explains why the EU is going to extreme measures to implement things like digital ID at lightning speeds. The AI World Society leaders, say they've entered all people into a new social contract, which happened without your consent, by the way, where they now refer to people as objects. Yes, they use that word. They say that human rights need to be redefined for these objects previously known as humans. Bodily autonomy? There's no such thing. AI will merge with you through sensors inside your body and tell you each morning when you wake up which nanorobot-filled substances you need to take for your optimal health. I wish I was joking, but this is exactly what is described in the Exploring Biodigital Convergence publication by Policy Horizons Canada, an official Canadian government publication. We've also done an extensive series on that. Most people will cringe at the thought of it and simply say, I want no part in it. That's wonderful, but what happens when your digital ID is linked to your central bank digital currency, which can be turned off at a moment's notice, especially if you don't get the latest vaccine, of which the World Health Organization wants to introduce 500 of by 2030. That's exactly what our next article today is about, WEF's metaverse, an enforcement regime for vaccination. As the United Nations, World Economic Forum, European Union, World Bank, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation push for a global digital ID, that's right, it's not just local, they want a global ID. A new WEF report highlights the pivotal role a person's digital identity is expected to play in the metaverse. In the WEF's Metaverse Identity Defining the Self in a Blended Reality report, published last month and written in collaboration with Accenture, a multinational internet technology company, states, the metaverse, poised to redefine the internet, intertwines the digital and physical, emphasizing the pivotal role of identity in shaping immersive, human-centric experiences. According to the foreword of the full WEF report, the metaverse will act as a conduit to blend the digital world with the physical world and transform how people interact with information, others, and their surroundings, and digital ID will be a cornerstone in metaverse identity. The WEF's March report comes on the heels of last month's report by the RAND Corporation and the UK Defence Science and Technology Laboratory, which states that the future metaverses may reach such a sophistication level that they come to function almost like new countries. I've been saying for some time that the reason that they're destroying patriotism and the love of your country and your identity is because they want people to assume this digital citizen identity where they are a world citizen under this world government, which of course they are proposing should be run by AI. The RAND report predicts the Internet of Bodies ecosystem, where humans and machines are essentially merged, may result in the development of the Internet of Brains sometime between 2035 and 2050. And this is exactly what all of their publications are about. You know, we'll all connect our brains and our senses inside our bodies to AI and then feed the global hive mind. And in fact, inside the AI World Society book, it talks about how even your thoughts need to align with what the globalists want, because if you happen to think the wrong thing that produces the wrong result in the metaverse, you won't be punished, you just won't be rewarded with digital currency. You see, it's not a social credit system, everyone. Don't worry, you just won't get paid unless you do what you're told. Experts who spoke with the Defender warned that behind the WEF's stated concern for the security of individuals' digital identity in the metaverse are major financial interests and new privacy-intrusive digital tools. Seamus Bruner, author of Controlligarchs, Exposing the Billionaire Class, Their Secret Deals, and the Globalist Plot to Dominate Your Life, and director of research at the Government Accountability Institute, told the Defender that to understand the interests at play behind the WEF's metaverse report, it's vital to follow the money. The first and most obvious answer is money, Bruner said. Financial institutions like JP Morgan, Bank of America, all believe the metaverse has multi-trillion dollar potential. Goldman Sachs predicted the metaverse could be an $8 trillion opportunity. According to a December 23 Bankless Times report, nearly 30% of online users will use the metaverse for work, shopping, education, or entertainment by 2026. That's around the corner. While the global virtual reality market is expanding at a yearly compound rate of 31.8%. When people think of the metaverse, they often think of virtual reality, but that's only one part of it, Bruner said. augmented reality will be a major component of future metaverses, but the difference between AR and VR is that AR headsets actually see the physical world around you, which poses privacy concerns for users. I would even go further than that and say that actually they don't plan to have augmented reality headsets. They plan to embed this technology into the humans. I'm not saying they'll succeed, but they plan to embed the technology into the humans so that our entire experience of life is actually an augmented reality, leaving it open for the globalists to create whatever reality they want around us. Michael Rechtenwald, author of Google Archipelago, The Digital Gulag and the Simulation of Freedom, told The Defender, "The conception is materialist and mechanistic at base, the hallmarks of social engineering. It represents the world as consisting of nothing but manipulable matter, or rather of digital media mimicking matter. It suggests that human beings can be reduced to a material substratum and can be induced to accept a technological reproduction of reality." And he says that it assumes that those who accept it can be controlled by technocratic means. He said that this materialist, mechanistic, techno determinist and reductionist worldview is consistent with the transhumanist belief that humans themselves will soon be succeeded by a new transhuman species, or humanity plus, H plus, perhaps a genetically and AI enhanced cyborg that will outstrip ordinary humans and make the latter virtually obsolete. Truthfully, I could spend the entire broadcast on this topic. It's a particular area that I'm passionate about. I've done extensive amount of research into the synthetic biology aspects of what the transhumanists are wanting to achieve, what they've already perfected in the way of synthetic biology, merging AI with the human. It's really terrifying. And you can find a wide array of broadcasts that we've done on these very topics. But I do want to draw everyone's attention to the enforcement regime for vaccination aspect of this. So as Hinchcliffe and others have said, the metaverse is part and parcel of the Great Reset. And when it was officially launched in 2020, the Fourth Industrial Revolution would lead, Klaus Schwab said, it would lead to the fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identities. When you combine the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, what you get is transhumanism and the metaverse, the blending of humans and technology in virtual and augmented spaces that dissolve individual and national identities. This is what I was saying before. Now, according to Rechtenwald, the metaverse may become a means of compensating for and distracting from the real-world impoverishment created by the enactment of the Great Reset while serving as an enforcement regime for such matters as vaccination. In fact, we remember that at the WEF's annual meeting in January, digital ID was proposed as a means of tracking the unvaccinated. We really do encourage everyone to read that article in full because it articulates the vision of the Great Reset and digital existence quite well. When people think transhumanism, they think getting a brain chip through surgery or the age-old warnings of a microchip in your right hand often associated with the mark of the beast. But it really is much more sinister than that, and with advances in nanotechnology linking humans to the metaverse, you may no longer need a physical chip at all. What they're actually describing is a reality that is slowly altered through genetically modified foods and pharmaceuticals, chemicals sprayed through geoengineering and so on, while simultaneously destroying the real world around us and forcing us into a digital existence, locked in with digital banking, digital IDs, and so on. Eventually, they plan to squeeze everyone into this digital currency and ID system where you cannot survive without it because all currency and trade will be digital. Therefore, those who are not prepared to return to a lifestyle where they are completely self-sufficient, for example, growing your own food, having your own water supply, power, animals, etc., will comply. It's easy to say no while we still have access to our bank accounts, but what about when you're unable to pay a mortgage repayment because you didn't do what AI told you, didn't think what AI wanted you to think, or didn't get the injection AI told you that you had to? Bottom line, anyone who really understands this world that they are building will understand the importance of and start building a parallel economy outside of the AI world society while they fight to put an end to it. Dr. Phil has destroyed a DEI advocate in under 40 seconds. He's making headlines again, this time on the topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion. In the sixth episode of Dr. Phil Primetime, Should DEI Die?, the renowned clinical psychologist brilliantly refuted the ideas presented by a HR leader and DEI advocate. Let's take a listen.
Racism, unconscious bias, misogyny. And so how do we help level the playing field for everyone?
Okay, so that means you're trying to create a quality of outcome. That's what I hear you saying about playing God. Yeah. How do you create a quality of outcome when people aren't the same? You're right. Some people are shorter. Some people are taller looking over that fence. They can't both play in the NBA.
Right.
You can't create a quality of outcome. What gives a DEI program the right to come in and try and alter the nature of things to create a quality of outcome? So, that's been tried. That didn't work. That was called Marxism.
Marxism is exactly what it is, and needless to say, the struggling IQ HR rep was lost for words, as most are when they're approached with sound logic. Resolving to eat healthier this year was easy. Actually doing it, not so easy. Better nutrition is a key to health and longevity, and a healthy diet could even help you avoid health risks that run in your family. Field of Greens is our healthy superfruit and vegetable habit. It's the only fruit and vegetable product that literally promises better health. At your next checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back. Do your vitamins or green drinks promise better health? Nope. Each superfruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor selected for a specific health benefit. Some support your heart, lungs, and kidneys. Others support metabolism for healthy energy and weight loss. If you resolve to get healthier in 2024, it starts with Field of Greens. We got you 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit brickhousevnn.com and use promo code VNN. That's promo code VNN at brickhousevnn.com. Brickhousevnn.com. Joe Rogan has dropped a theory explaining why most doctors are silent on the COVID vax injuries and deaths. So in this podcast with Andrew Schultz, he talks about all of the all-cause mortality statistics and the journalists dropping dead and all of these celebrities just dropping dead, permanent disabilities now, and the fact that it is just impossible to ignore. But here's his theory on why he thinks they are ignoring it.
And the resistance against that being possible is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's because people, first of all, they advocated for it. They told you to get it. They probably chastised people and scolded people that didn't get it.
Yeah.
So now they have this opinion that they have started with and they're stuck with and they want to be correct.
Off of
they don't
want to
back.
Yeah.
They don't want to back off. It takes a very courageous person to say
I'm fucking wrong.
Not only was I wrong, but I probably fucked people over, and a lot of people might have been adversely affected.
Well, if you speak to doctors privately, those who haven't spoken out publicly, a lot of them are saying the very same things that Rogan was saying in this podcast, but they just won't talk about it. Is he right? What are your thoughts? Why do you think they're not speaking up? Is it the lack of courage? Is it the fact that their ego can't handle that they were wrong? Let us know in the comments below. Alex Jones to sue FBI and CIA after undercover video reveals the feds targeted him. Media personality Alex Jones declared his intention to file lawsuits against the FBI and CIA during an appearance on the Benny Johnson show. This announcement followed the release of an undercover video by Sound Investigations, which featured a CIA officer purportedly admitting to federal agencies targeting conservatives, including Jones. The Gateway Pundit previously reported on the footage in which Gavin O'Blenis, the contracting officer for the CIA, was caught on hidden camera by an undercover journalist claiming that the FBI could imprison anyone by setting them up, a method that he referred to as a nudge. O'Blenis singled out right-wing journalists, specifically Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones, as being problematic and suggested that the FBI took Jones's money away and chopped his legs off as a means of crippling his operations. O'Blenis also disclosed the presence of undercover FBI agents during the events at the US Capitol on January 6th, suggesting a widespread federal involvement in key national events. He mentioned the use of embellished news and fake social media as tools to incite public anger and manipulate public perception. It really does beg the question, how many of those trolls on social media are actually feds? Now, we encourage everyone to watch the video in full on the Vigilant News Network article, but please take a listen to just a few seconds of Oblenis here.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How? Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little, just to see what happens. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
We did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away, chopped his legs off.
So proud of himself there. What a disgusting individual. During his interview with Benny Johnson, Alex Jones expressed his conviction that the now public statements by Oblenis required immediate action. "I'm planning to launch a lawsuit against the CIA and the FBI," Jones said. He contextualized the timing of the undercover video's release as a divine intervention, coinciding with the closure of his bankruptcy proceedings and other legal matters. We'll continue to provide more on that as more comes to light. A former CBS reporter has accused the network of journalistic rape. This came after it fired her, then seized her documents while she was working to expose government corruption. Award-winning reporter Catherine Herridge, whose work included exposing Biden administration scandals, testified to a House Judiciary Committee on Thursday that her First Amendment had been violated by the news organization. Quote, "When my records were seized, I felt it was journalistic rape," Herridge told Rep. Jim Jordan, who'd asked if she'd wrote reporting critical of the Biden administration, to which she agreed. Take a listen.
"Turned, and I just want to be clear, Congressman, wherever you work, if this happened to you, it's an attack on free press. It's an attack on the First Amendment. It makes it more challenging for reporters to work in the future. That disrupts the free flow of information to the public. They call it journalism a profession for a reason, because it's about an informed electorate, and it's a cornerstone of our democracy. I can only speak for myself. When my records were seized, I felt it was a journalistic rape."
Well, she's absolutely right about that. When the network of Walter Cronkite seizes your reporting files, including confidential source information, that is an attack on investigative journalism, she added. Elsewhere in her statements, Herridge explained how she was fired by CBS shortly after being held in contempt by refusing to reveal her sources on a national security story. "CBS News' decision to seize my reporting records crossed a red line that I believe should never be crossed by any media organization," the Emmy Award-winning reporter stated. Multiple sources said they were concerned that by working with me to expose government corruption and misconduct, they would be identified and exposed. CBS News locked me out of the building and seized hundreds of pages of my reporting files, including confidential source information. What is CBS hiding? And is this a regular practice of mainstream media outlets for any journalist who dares to go against the establishment? Is this why we can never expect the truth out of them? What you have here is an example of what happens to people living in a dictatorship. If we were living in a democracy, as they keep telling us we are, something like this would never occur. As we close in on the election, you see more and more shocking events happening around the world and even at home. I don't believe it's all a coincidence, and neither should you. Plus, our society faces additional challenges: high inflation, mounting debt, rising interest rates, and labor disputes. These factors further strain our economy, with escalating global tensions threatening to disrupt vital supply chains. There's a reason why so many patriots preserve their wealth with gold, because it stands on its own as a beacon of stability, and over the last 5 years, almost doubled in value. Allegiance Gold has done things the right way from the beginning, so it's no coincidence they've earned the highest trust ratings in the precious metals industry. 5 stars with TrustLink and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. Allegiance Gold can help protect your IRA or 401k with physical gold and silver, or you can have it delivered securely to your doorstep. Get up to $5,000 in free silver on a qualifying investment when you go to protectwithvnn.com or call 855-324-GOLD. Don't risk your financial future betting against these forces. Act today. Protectwithvnn.com. That's protectwithvnn.com or call 855-324-GOLD. Well, Biden has been caught. A 2016 audio reveals classified docs admission. GOP Rep. Elsie Stefanik dropped some breaking news on Thursday during a House committee hearing on the FBI's budget with Director Christopher Wray. There is an audio of Biden telling his ghostwriter that he just found all the classified documents downstairs. Robert Herr in February released a 345-page report on his investigation of the stolen classified documents. Herr found that Joe Biden willfully retained classified information. However, he decided not to charge him. Herr said there is evidence Biden retained classified notebooks, knowing he was not allowed to do so. Biden was not charged even though he willfully retained SCIF-designated classified documents and shared material with his ghostwriter, Mark Zwanitzer. According to Robert Herr, in 2017, Biden read aloud classified passages about meetings in the Situation Room to his ghostwriter, verbatim on at least three occasions, and Biden still wasn't charged. His ghostwriter, Zwanitzer, deleted digital audio files of the recordings of his conversations with Biden after learning about special counsel Robert Herr's appointment. According to Herr's report, Zwanitzer deleted the files before he received a subpoena. Technicians were able to recover the deleted recordings, but Zwanitzer was not charged for deleting the files. According to the report, portions of three of Zwanitzer's recovered audio files appeared to be missing, and a fourth file appeared to have portions overridden with a separate recording. Quote, Zwanitzer stated that at some point he deleted the audio files subfolder from his laptop and external hard drive. No relevant deleted files were recovered from the laptop. Deleted audio files were recovered from a subfolder on the external hard drive labeled audio. Based on the available evidence from the forensic review, we assess that all deleted audio files were recovered from that subfolder. For three of the recovered files, portions of the audio appeared to be missing, and a fourth file appeared to have portions overwritten with a separate recording. Though these results are possible when forensic tools are used to recover deleted files. Now, the feds declined to charge Zwanitzer, and Rep. Stefanik on Thursday revealed there is an audio recording of Biden telling Mark Zwanitzer that he just found all the classified stuff downstairs. Until Stefanik's revelation, it was only known to the public via Herr's report that Zwanitzer had preserved transcript of Biden telling him there was classified materials downstairs. Perhaps most significantly, Zwanitzer preserved near-verbatim transcripts that contain incriminating information about Mr. Biden, including transcripts of the February 16, 2017 conversation where Mr. Biden said he just found all the classified stuff downstairs. Preserving these transcripts was inconsistent with a motive aimed at impeding the investigation, Robert Herr said in his 345-page report reviewed by this reporter. Quote, are you aware there is an audio recording of Joe Biden saying to his ghostwriter in 2017, I just found all the classified document stuff downstairs, Rep. Stefanik said to Chris Wray. Chris Wray didn't want to discuss Biden's crimes and his mishandling of classified information. Let's take a look at some of this clip.
Ms. Stefanik.
Director Wray, have you read Robert Herr's special counsel report?
I have reviewed it.
Do you believe Joe Biden mishandled classified information?
I'm not going to discuss the report. That's the special counsel's report, and I've referred
it. In your opinion as director of the FBI, do you believe he mishandled classified information?
Again, I'm just going to refer to the report, and the special counsel can speak for himself on his report.
Are you aware, and this is breaking news right now, are you aware that there's an audio recording of Joe Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2016, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote? Are you aware of that audio recording?
I would just respectfully refer you to the special counsel.
No, I'm asking you, are you aware as director of the FBI? You're either aware or you're not.
I'm aware. Am I aware of what now?
Whether the audio exists of Joe Biden saying in February 2017, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote, to his ghostwriter.
Again, I'm just going to refer to the special counsel and his testimony and his report.
It sounds like you might be aware of it then. In front of this very committee in an open session, your predecessor, Jim Comey, testified that he did not follow the proper protocol regarding the notification of Congress of the opening of the Crossfire Hurricane, that will be the counterintelligence investigation into President Trump in 2016. To address this illegal abuse of power by the FBI, this committee included direction to the FBI in the IAA, requiring notification to congressional leadership of any counterintel investigation into a federal candidate for office. Is there any counterintelligence investigation into either Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
I would just say I'll refer you to the special counsel has...
It's not a question about the special counsel. Right. That's a requirement in the IAA of the FBI. Is there a counterintelligence investigation into either Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
There's no investigation that I could confirm here, no.
Is there a counterintelligence investigation?
Again, I'm not confirming any investigation into either candidate.
Are you aware that you're required by the IAA to notify Congress of any counterintelligence investigation?
And we will comply with the law.
Have you already complied with the law? Has there been a notification?
I believe we have been in compliance with the law.
You believe you have been, or has there been a notification to Congress of any counterintelligence investigation of a federal candidate?
I believe we have complied with the law.
Our top story tonight, Japanese professor delivers stunning message that everyone needs to hear. Masayasu Inouye, MD, PhD, and Professor Emeritus at Osaka City University Medical School, recently released an 8-minute video with a groundbreaking message for the world. He said the pandemic was used as a false pretext by the WHO to drive vaccinations of all peoples in the world. Inouye also declared that the fraudulent use of experimental gene therapy to healthy people was not only an extreme violation of human rights, but the result was the induction of the terrible drug-induced injury that has never been seen in human history. His speech is amazing, but let's take a listen to some of it.
Molecular pathology and medicine. The pandemic was used as a false pretext by the WHO to drive vaccinations of all peoples in the world. A plan was set up to shorten the time to develop vaccines, which usually takes longer than 10 years, to less than 1 year. Operation Warp Speed. This operation was used to cover up the misconception of the genetic vaccines. Under the pretext of saving time, an extremely dangerous method was selected, that is, intramuscular injection of viral genes to produce toxic spike proteins directly in human tissues to stimulate immune system. Because this is a completely new method and misconception method that has never applied before in human history, it is impossible, therefore, for most of doctors to give proper informed consent. However, due to irresponsible government and media campaigns to promote vaccines, 80% of the Japanese has been vaccinated, unfortunately. 7 shots have been done so far. This is the most and worst in the world, and the result was the induction of the terrible drug-induced injury that has never seen in human history. I believe that the fraudulent use of experimental gene therapy to healthy people, particularly to healthy children, is an extreme violation of human rights.
This professor's statements add to the growing calls of accountability for the crimes against humanity that have been committed by governments, health officials, medical practitioners, the WHO, Bill Gates, the media, and all those involved in the greatest crime in history that is COVID and the injection rollout. Just this past week, I interviewed British MP Andrew Bridgen on InfoWars on this very topic. Bridgen has gone a step further and has filed evidence pertaining to crimes against humanity to Met Police in the UK and is calling for maximum accountability for Bill Gates and the COVID criminals. We encourage everyone to go and watch that explosive interview on zmedia.com. It's up right now. And that brings us to a close for this week. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued support of this broadcast. Please make sure to like, give us your thoughts in the comments, and share this broadcast widely. Also, please remember to bookmark the post on X. The weaponization of community notes greatly affects the reach of your favorite accounts on X, so you can help them and us by bookmarking posts, which increases their visibility and reach. Follow Vigilant News and Vigilant Fox on X. Visit the Vigilant News Network website for regular updates and find me on X also at Z_media. That's Z-E-E_media. We'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern with the truth the mainstream media desperately does not want you to know. But you can be sure we'll be here to tell you about it. Until then, stay informed, stay vigilant. Good night. We'll be right back.